Welcome to the 4th and Inches podcast with your hosts, Stuart Love, Sukhdeep Pooney, and Ryan Edwardson.
Hello and welcome to the 4th and Inches flagship NFL podcast. My name is Ryan Edwardson and I am joined by Sukhdeep Pooney. Hi Sukhdeep.
Hi Ryan, how's it going buddy?
It's not going too bad at all considering this year. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Just getting ready for Christmas now. Obviously it's Christmas. We're recording on Christmas Eve. Stuart sadly is not with us today. I think, I don't know where he is at the minute, but he's literally somewhere spewing his guts out, probably.
Most probably.
Yeah.
But yes, it's Christmas Eve, and we're going to have a recap of some of the games from Week 15. We're inching closer and closer to the playoffs, Sukhdeep. How are your nerves holding up?
Better after this week, and I might as well make a start on it. So
yeah, go straight into it.
Yeah, so we've got, obviously, the Bucs against the Falcons. The Bucs won 31-27. I mean, we've seen it happen with the Falcons before, and we've seen it happen with the Bucs before. So even though the game at halftime was 17-0, I'm going to be completely honest, there was never a point where I didn't think, okay, we've got a chance of winning this. I felt extremely confident still.
That really?
I did.
Wow.
Just because I've seen the Bucs come back this season numerous times, did it against the Chargers, you know. So I had that feeling that we would do it. It was only probably when the Falcons got the touchdown in the third quarter, did I then sort of give up, so to speak? And I was like, it's not going to happen. And I was just thinking back to my Bucs fandom over the course of the past 13 years, thinking, yeah, I've been cursed. But no, they pulled it out at the end and they got the win. But as I say, it's a game of two halves again, you know, for the Bucs. And part of me is hoping that this is just a strategy by Tom Brady, whereby he doesn't want to let teams know exactly what the Bucs are all about, and then when it comes playoff time, bam, they're going to play for four quarters. That's what I'm hoping. But
have you started on the Christmas drinks a bit early? That's so deep.
No, not at all.
you really think? I don't know. Continue.
But all I'm saying is, am I right in thinking Tom Brady? Teams in the past, they've not always done well in sort of the regular season. When it comes playoff time, they just suddenly get into the next gear. Why can't he make a run if they get into the playoffs?
I think he can. I always attributed that more to Belichick than I did to Brady. Whether Arians has got the same tactical now, so he's a good coach, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's obviously offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich who's in my opinion, that's a problem. But, you know, going into, obviously, this particular game, I mean, like you said, the Falcons, you know, had a really good start. Matt Ryan, you know, great connection with Calvin Ridley. Bucs were just had nothing on offense in the first half. It was just literally, you know, any play that we had, it was just punt, you know, five plays in a row. Third quarter, they just seem to have just, you know, whatever was said at halftime, they'd literally just managed to, you know, sort themselves out. They had a great first drive with Leonard Fournette getting the 1 yard touchdown, 80 yard drive. Got a bit lucky with a couple of sort of, you know, play calls as well. But, you know, that Hayden Hurst touchdown, as I was saying, that was the one when it was 24-7. I thought, okay, surely the Bucs can't come back from this as well. But, you know, they did. As I say, they ground out the result. And Antonio Brown, you know, like him or loathe him, he got his first touchdown. I like to see the fact that he did sort of celebrate with his teammates. Our defense stepped up as well in the second half. Devin White especially, who, in my opinion, to be snubbed from the Pro Bowl is an absolute travesty. And after this game, I just can't understand it, how he's not in the Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, three sacks, four, you know, tackles for loss. an absolute amazing performance from him. So, you know, hopefully now a lot of the books, given the fact there's only one Buccaneer who's in the Pro Bowl this year, hopefully a lot of them are going to have a number of, you know, chips on their shoulders, and they're going to start, you know, they're going to start taking out on these teams. Got the Lions on Saturday, so that'll be an interesting one. As I say, I'm not the kind of person to sort of cry we're in the playoffs already until it's mathematically possible, but just praying that we can get it done against the Lions and take it from there. But yeah, the Falcons, again, blow another lead.
It's just what they do, isn't it?
It is, it is. But I like Raheem Morris, and I hope he... I don't think he will be considered for the head coach position, no, but I'd love to see him, you know, being a former Buck, get an opportunity somewhere. The Falcons seem to have given up on Todd Gurley as well this year now.
Yeah, so, massively. He's done, isn't he?
Yeah, so they're even talking about Ito Smith being the lead back for them. So that's a shame.
I think that's a bit harsh on Gurley.
I don't think he's had a bad season. I mean, if you look at what he's done, I don't know if it's injuries or what have you, but, you know, he's had 9 touchdowns this season, 644 yards. Yes, he's averaging only 3.5, you know, but there's some running backs out there who are starting and got way worse stats than him. So
yeah,
maybe it's just one of those things that they're not going to work out, but... You know, Calvin Ridley's a beast. Got to give him his dues. He had a monster of a game, and he's
really coming into his own, isn't he now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, given the fact that they've got no Julio Jones, he's really now taken that step as being the number one receiver, and I think he will be next season. Well, Julio now is at the sort of tail end of his career, sadly. We'll move on swiftly to the next game. So we're going to talk about your Seahawks, aren't we now?
Yes, Seahawks 20, Washington 15. And it was a defensive battle throughout most of the game. Both the Washington defense, who have been lauded for most of the season, and then the Seahawks defense, who have improved so much since mid-season. They were in bend, don't break mode. So there was quite a lot of drives going back and forth, but not many points getting put on the board. In the end, it just came down to the fact that Washington just don't have an offense that is going in any particular direction. They've not got an identity. You've got Dwayne Haskins under center, who's obviously just not good enough. But I think Ron Rivera knew that coming into the season, which is probably why he brought Kyle Allen across with him. But with Allen injured and Alex Smith injured, I'm not sure if Smith's going to get back in for the next couple of weeks, but they really could use him just to give them a little bit of a steadying ship, because it was Haskins not really providing any sparks for the Washington offense that caused them to lose this game.
Yeah.
The Seahawks hit the run game hard. Like, coming off the game with the Jets last week, where we put up a load of points, this week it was really all about Chris Carson getting the run game going. It did help that most of the receivers were covered, so we didn't really have much choice, because obviously the Washington defense is good. But it was a lot of Chris Carson running, a lot of Russell Wilson running, and it was good to see Russ getting the ball, tucking it, and he went off a number of times up the field in runs that we haven't really seen him do this season. That's been the one thing that I've really been concerned about.
Yeah.
Is he's not looked confident in running at all, has he?
No, 100%.
But he did manage to break away. I think a lot of people coming into this game were talking about Chase Young and Montez Sweat putting a lot of pressure on Wilson. Didn't really materialise throughout most of the game. Wilson broke off a 40-yard run midway through the second quarter that set up the first touchdown for Seattle, which was a dart into Jacob Hollister. Apart from that, he didn't really pass the ball a lot at all. It really was all about setting up the run game, and Chris Carson is so key to the Seahawks offense. Everybody talks about Russell Wilson, but things went off the boil last year when we lost Chris Carson and Rashad Penny in really quick succession, had no run game to work off at all.
Yeah.
If you don't stop Chris Carson at the line of scrimmage or before it, he's getting a 5-yard gain, no matter what. You've got to stop him in the backfield. If he gets up ahead of steam, he's going through you, and he's going to take the ball a good 5 yards each carry. So that's going to be key for us heading into the playoffs, which we've now clinched with this win, which I'm very glad about.
Yep.
but it was... I mean, 2015 sounds like quite a close game. Standard Seahawks, as we always do, making it closer than we should do. It was 20-3. after the first drive of the third quarter. Carlos Hyde went in for a long rushing touchdown as well. DJ Reed got a pick. That was the Seahawks' second pick of the game. And it looked like we could have gone into fifth gear and just put, I don't know, 30, 40 points on the Washington football team. Nearly said the R word. I won't say that. But we didn't. And that is a bit concerning. I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt because I think it is just that Washington are a good defense. And the fourth quarter, that's when Washington started to come back. It seemed like the Seahawks defense, who had been playing well all game, kind of changed tactics a bit and they tried to get after Dwayne Haskins, but it just freed up a bit of room for him to throw the ball. And it was 20-15 going to the fourth quarter. Washington could easily have won this game. In the last drive, it came down to it. They were on the Seattle 30. They'd had a number of drives that they'd put together back-to-back going up and down the field on the defense. But then Haskins missed a wide-open receiver in the end zone on first down, got sacked on the next two plays, ended up on the Seattle 40, having to throw a Hail Mary, and the Seattle defense just ate it up and covered it. So really, Washington are on the precipice. All NFC East teams can still get into the playoffs. They can still win their division, which is just ridiculous. You think about how bad those teams have been. But it's going to be interesting, I think. So Seattle are in the playoffs. We've got the Rams next week. We'll talk about that in a minute. But for Washington, the key really is getting this offense going because the defense is good enough. The offensive line seems okay. They just need to use the weapons they've got. If they can get Gibson back, I don't know. It's
key player.
So things are looking up for the Washington football team because it's Ron Rivera's first season, and you wouldn't have thought that coming into this season at all. But they've got a solid basis. It looks like if they can sort out their offense, they've got a good direction to go in the next couple of seasons. But they really need that quarterback.
Oh, 100%. Alex Smith. I mean, when he's been in, he's done a tremendous job, to be honest. Really sort of reignited the Redskins' offense. So you got a good lead receiver in McLaurin, in my opinion, and a good running game finally now. You know, they've looked to draft, you know they've missed on a lot of them with Darius Geis, Love, you know, all these players. So now it's nice that they've got, obviously, Gibson, McKissick, and even Peyton Barber now. They've got a good free tandem there is what you need, you know, in the NFL. So, yeah, I think things will look good and it'll be interesting to see what they do in the draft. And obviously their defense now is super hot at the minute.
It's stacked.
You know, absolutely stacked there with that tandem. Shall I move on to the Eagles and the Cards?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so this was a very interesting game, one that I thoroughly enjoyed. So finished Cardinals 33, Eagles 26, moves the Eagles onto 4-9-1. And puts the Cardinals at 8-6, I believe. So just about inside that NFC playoff hunt. You know, another win will probably do it for them. But yeah, this was closer than a lot of people probably would have imagined after the first quarter. So the Cardinals were 16-0 up in the first quarter. Jalen Hurts was brought down for a safety. We're seeing a lot of safeties this year, aren't we?
A lot of safeties. I'm loving it.
Especially in the last few weeks. Yeah, 100%. So they obviously got the safety earlier on. And then Kyler Murray doing what Kyler Murray does best, you know, using his legs to sort of get in there. Not using his running backs enough, but that's another story. When you got Kyler Murray, you don't really need those running backs, do you? But he did use Chase Edmonds on a pass later on in the first quarter to put them 16-0 up. And then at this point, you thought, you know, the game's over. But, you know, the Eagles are looking a lot better now with Jalen Hurts, I must say. They're definitely, you know, seems to have brought some fresh impetus to that offense, in my opinion. And they did a good job of sort of coming back, you know, after being sort of 16-0 behind. Funnily enough, it's strange because the Cardinals, I believe, had three turnovers in this game and the Eagles had zero. And from looking at this, you would have assumed that the Eagles would have come back and been victorious. But it wasn't meant to be. I'd say the Eagles came back into it in the second quarter. You know, the Quez Watkins touchdown, nice 32-yard pass there from Jalen Hurts brought them back into it. The Cards then sort of, sort of struggled really on offense. I say they're creating these sort of little turnovers here and there. And into the half, it was 26-20, I believe, to the Cardinals. And then Jalen Hurts then using his legs as well to come back in the third quarter and then converted the 2 points. They actually tried to get the 2-point conversion but failed to draw the game level at 26-26. Bit of a bizarre decision, in my opinion. But yeah. I guess when you're the Eagles, you probably just take any sort of opportunity to get some sort of lead. But I didn't understand that decision, because why would you go for a 2-point lead when, you know, you just get the one and then
just get a 1-point lead?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me why they tried to do that. The end of it was DeAndre Hopkins, as has been the case a lot of the season. It was the main difference. Just about caught that touchdown pass in the fourth quarter. You know, could have easily been picked off, but DeAndre Hopkins overpowering, the cornerback to give him the 33-26 win. As I say now, the Cardinals probably need one more win just to be safe to get into that playoff. But who have they got? They've got a divisional game as well. They've got the 49ers this week.
I think they've got two divisional games to end it.
Yeah, they've definitely got the Rams last game.
Yeah. And then they've got the Niners this week. We've got the Rams.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And this all impacts the books as well. So, yeah, I'm I was really rooting for the Eagles to come back into this, but just wasn't meant to be. To be fair, the Cardinals deserve their place in the playoffs. You know, I think definitely more over Chicago this season.
They've had a very odd season. They had such a good run of form, and then they dipped massively, and they lost four on the bounce. And it's all down to Kyler Murray, isn't it? If he's healthy, then everything runs through him.
Yeah,
and they're electric. But for those four or five games, they weren't looking great. Mm. So
I just don't get why they're not using Kenyon Drake as much. I mean, last season, when he was in there,
he was a monster.
Exactly. And there seems to be sort of a committee between him and Chase Edmonds. I mean, don't get me wrong, Chase Edmonds is a great back as well. But they're just not using them enough. I mean, if you think about how much Kyler runs, Kyler carried the ball 8 times. Kenyon Drake 10 times, Edmonds 11 times. So it's very much, split between those three. And it seems that if you're going to go for any red zone opportunities, the likelihood is that Kyler Murray is going to be the one who's going to be going in there for the touchdown. So I'd be quite frustrated if I was a back playing with the Cardinals, to be honest.
They're not using them in the passing game either, which is really surprising, because that's where Drake really hit form last season.
Yeah. I mean, Edmonds, he was used for the touchdown, but yeah, that's as far as it was. I mean, he only had 3 carries, receptions, and Drake had 2 receptions. So yeah, you'd think that they use a lot of this sort of play action, but it's just it's working at the end of the day, so I guess they've got not too much to complain about. But Jalen Hurts, give him his props. A very solid game. 338 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's using he's bringing Zach Ertz back into the game as well, which I think whilst Wentz was at the helm, Ertz was kind of becoming a bit of a sort of forgotten man. Seems to be spreading the ball out to various different receivers. I mean, if you look at, I think they had about 8 or 9 different receivers, being used. So that's good with a new rookie quarterback. So it'd be exciting to see what he does next season. And he's got that, he's still dangerous with his legs as well. So, yeah, I won't be surprised, really, Eagles. I'm not sure. Can't remember who they've got next week or this week, should I say. But it'll be interesting. Just going to have a quick look, actually. If I can find who they've got.
Yeah, Doug Peterson's either very, very happy that he's put Jalen Hurts in or kicking himself. He didn't do it a bit earlier.
We've got the Cowboys. So that's a battle game. The Cowboys are 5-9. So, yeah, so that win will...
is going to get it's on nasty, a knife
edge.
Isn't it?
It's on a knife edge, isn't it?
Eagles, Cowboys, and you've got a chance to win the division. Ow.
I know, terrible. But obviously, we'll move on to talking about the Rams. I'm sure.
Yeah, keep it in the NFC West for a bit. Why not? Rams, Jets. Oh, my word. Who saw that one coming? I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the score a lot. I enjoyed watching the game a lot. Sorry, Rams fans. But I mean, we've seen the Jets put together strings of performances, like half games throughout the season. And they kind of did that again today. It's just the fact that the Rams did it as well. And the Rams have been so inconsistent this year. I think I had a look and it's basically every third game they lose.
Yeah.
It's win-win-loss, win-win-loss, win-win-loss. And they just seem to not turn up. And that's pretty much what happened. The Jets didn't do anything special. It reminded me of watching the Giants when they beat the Seahawks a couple of weeks ago. All the Jets had to do was play no-nonsense, mistake-free football on offense. And that's what they did. They kind of nullified the Rams' defensive line by getting Darnold to throw it as soon as he had it in his hands. The ball was coming out so fast that Aaron Donald didn't really have much chance to get to him at all. There wasn't a lot of running in the first half. There wasn't a lot of room for Frank Gore to get anywhere. But Ty Johnson was taking the ball out of the backfield a lot. Sam Darnold was making passes. He was looking like the quarterback everybody thought he could be. Might be a little bit too little too late for him now, but it was just a mistake-free by the Jets offense and then backed up by the fact that the defense really turned up in the first half as well. They got after Jared Goff. There was nowhere for the Rams offense to go. The Jets then got in, blocked a punt, which I don't think has happened to Johnny Hecker for quite a while.
No.
And then forced an interception. They got field goals off both of those after scoring on their first drive. And really, the Rams just didn't have any answer at all. They were trailing 17-3 at halftime, and their 3 points only came with 10 seconds or so left in the first half. And it's been a little bit too often this has been happening for the Rams, I think. And I'd say Rams fans would be a little bit concerned about, is Jared Goff the right person? I mean, he's tied in there with a long-term contract.
Yeah.
We've all had the qualms about Jared Goff being under center long term for the Rams, but even then, Sean McVay can normally bring something out. And in that first half, there was nothing at all. The second half was a completely different story, and it's pretty much what's happened to the Jets all season long. Is Adam Gase can't coach, so can't make the adjustments that the other team would, so the Jets get steamrolled. But they managed to hang on in there. The Rams were much better on offense. It helped that the receivers stopped dropping the ball quite a lot because Jared Goff was just a little off target in the first half.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of drops from the wide receivers. And then Cam Akers managed to get the running game going. Things started to flow a little bit more for them. But even then, the big plays that they got were more from the receivers rather than a big pass by Goff or a big run by Akers. So there was a big gain from Everett, who span out of a tackle, and there was just nobody in the secondary to stop him.
Oh.
He went a good 40 yards. Robert Woods broke off a long run. He seems to get one every game at the moment, doesn't he? A nice 40-yard run on the sweep. Suddenly, the Rams were back in the game. They probably should have won this.
Yeah.
But I think the yips came back in for Jared Goff and ended up on fourth down. It was either going to be a long 55-yard field goal, which, I mean, you think if you still had Greg the Leg Zuerlein, you'd probably go for that, tie the game, try and get the ball back. But they don't. They go
to
for
be them. Fair, Matt Gay can hit them over 50.
Yeah.
He did it last year at the Bucks.
That's what I mean. He's not a bad kicker. I was a bit confused as to why McVay wouldn't go for it. Maybe he thought getting a tie wouldn't be good enough because it's the Jets. I'm not too sure. But McVay goes for it on fourth down. Doesn't get there, and then the Jets managed to chew up the clock, and they were chewing up the clock quite a lot. Most of their drives that ended in scores were long drives where they're quite methodical. But I mean, it puts the Rams in a bad position for the playoffs now. Well, it puts them in a bad position for the division title. They should still get in the playoffs. But before this, they would have been looking at this game thinking, that's fine, we've got the tiebreaker over Seattle at the moment, we play them next week, all we need to do is win. And they'll be fine. I mean, all they need to do is win again, but it's not quite the same, is it?
I think their
momentum's been slowed.
Yeah, 100%. And if they, like I said, those two games are not guaranteed victories for them.
No.
I know they've got a good record against the Cardinals, but you just lose that game and Chicago play Jacksonville, which at the end of the day, I'll be very surprised if Jacksonville are going to turn up now, knowing that they've got...
Completely.
Now that they've got their hands on the number one pick now, I'd be very surprised that they could pull off anything. And then I think the key game for me is Chicago play Green Bay at the end. And, you know, a Green Bay, maybe if Green Bay have, you know, got the number one seed by then sewn up, if they have, then maybe they'll rest some players. You just don't know.
It's hard when it's a division game, especially Green Bay, Chicago as well. I don't know. I suppose if there's nobody in Lambeau Field, there's nobody there to boo them for doing it. But...
exactly. Anything can happen in these sort of games. So that's why I'm still nervous about the Bucks, and I think Rams fans just need to be a bit concerned as well. But they just need to get that one victory out of the way. But like you said, they're probably, knowing the Rams, they're probably beat Seattle.
Yeah, beat Seattle, lose to Arizona is what I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
They do seem to have our number over the past couple of years, which is pretty concerning.
And they beat you earlier in the season, didn't they, a couple of weeks back. So
yeah, I think both teams, again, the problem with the Rams is you don't know who's going to turn up and which quarter they're going to turn up in, because Cooper Kupp didn't do anything really.
No.
Robert Woods didn't do much. He got a touchdown, but he kind of scooped it off the floor off an errant throw from Goff.
Yeah,
I would be worried. There's not much downfield threat from the Rams.
Yeah,
but
and Cam Akers is injured as well. He was coming good the last couple of weeks. That's massive for them as well. So
I think because we're both quite similar, we use the run game to set up the pass game.
Yeah,
and it could be, especially if Seattle win next week, there's potential that the Rams get knocked out of the playoffs, isn't there?
Yeah.
If Arizona win, Chicago win, and Tampa win.
Because Arizona is going to have all to play for. Tampa wins this week, they're in. So
That's one spot gone.
And then you're relying on Chicago Green Bay to do a job on Chicago, which, you know.
I do enjoy having all these divisional games at the end of the season. I feel like you should start with divisional games and end with divisional games. I don't know.
I agree. I'm enjoying the end to it. And for once, I mean, I'm talking about the Bucks being in amongst them, so... I know how you feel now after all these years.
Now, we've mentioned Chicago a few times, so why don't you head on to Chicago, Minnesota?
Yeah, another good game that I really enjoyed. So this finished Bears 33, Vikings 27. The game was as close as the scoreline suggests. So each time the Vikings tried to come back into the game, the Bears seemed to have had an answer. And Trubisky, the last few weeks, he's looking better. You've got to give him his dues. I mean, you know what's going on there now. He's suddenly, all of a sudden, people are happy that, you know, Trubisky's the man. So a lot of credit goes out to them for that. But a fast start again, Trubisky to Darnell Mooney for the 8-yard touchdown pass. Mooney's having a good first season in the NFL. The Vikings then obviously came back into it with the Adam Thielen touchdown. Like I was saying, there's going back and forth. Chicago in the second quarter seemed to have then gained a bit of an advantage. I mean, David Montgomery in the last couple of weeks, he's performing a lot better as well. I think he had a career high this game, with 146 yards and two touchdowns, but... I think that's always going to help your quarterback when you've got a good running game, which I think Chicago have been missing for the best part of the season.
They've really been missing it for the last couple of seasons, haven't they?
Yeah, and Montgomery's had his injuries this season as well. He's been out for a little bit. Now I think that he's gaining a bit of confidence. That's also helping, in other forms for them as well. So, you know, fantastic, half for them being 20-10 up. But like I said, the Vikings, they at this point were still gunning for a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to obviously give up. They had a great series to begin the third quarter, which resulted in the Dalvin Cook 1-yard touchdown run. I think they had 75 yards in 8 plays, you know. But then again, as soon as the Vikings were looking to come back into the game, and you thought, yes, because I was rooting for the Vikings, I'm not going to lie, because I thought, you know, the quicker Chicago loses, the better for the teams, in the playoffs, like the Bucks and the Rams, like you said. Mm. I'm still rooting for the Rams because of my son as well to get into the playoffs. but then Montgomery then obviously comes back into it and gets another, you know, rushing touchdown, 14-yard one, to give it a 10-point deficit. And really after that, there was a couple of field goals in between, but then the Vikings come back into it again with Tyler Conklin, Kirk Cousins throwing a 20-yard pass to him. But in the end, it just wasn't enough. Vikings still had a chance right at the death, but obviously the Bears defense doing what they needed to do to come out on top. You know, it's Vikings are now questions for them. They're out of playoff contention now. You know, what do you do with Mike Zimmer? I think you keep him, to be honest. I think the Vikings are still a good team. They've had obviously their issues with defensive backs, rookie defensive backs. They're going to get better next year. Obviously, Kendricks has been out for a few weeks. That's a massive, massive loss for any team. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. It'll be interesting. They play on Christmas Day now. They've got New Orleans on Christmas Day. Bit of a disappointing game to have. I know they've got the revenge game. New Orleans will be eyeing revenge after what happened to them a couple of years back. But it's really, it's not too much to play for from a Viking standpoint, but I hope they can do it because they still have a chance for the Bucs to maybe overturn New Orleans and win that division. And the Bears obviously play Jacksonville, which for me, I see the Bears winning this one quite easily, to be honest now.
The Bears' transformation in the past few weeks is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, 100%.
You've chopped and changed your quarterback twice and then suddenly you're putting up 30 points a game.
Yeah, as I said, they look good against the Texans the other week. Very, very comfortable win. Had a close encounter with the Lions. They've pretty much, I think they've only, bar the Rams game, I think any games they've lost, they've only lost by like single digit points. So they're fighting hard. So they're going to be, they're not a team that I fancy playing in the playoffs, put it that way.
Yeah, it's a very odd one. I'm never quite sure how to feel about the Bears. Even a couple of seasons ago when they were in the playoffs, they don't feel like a playoff team most of the time, do they? But no. They might well get in there.
Yeah, 100%. So you're going to move on to the Lions and the Titans?
Yeah. Again, keep it in the division. Detroit 25, Tennessee 46, which sounds like a horrendous blowout. And it was a very odd game to keep tabs of because Tennessee looked like they were going to win it easily early on. Obviously, using Derrick Henry, because why wouldn't you? He's absolutely dominant.
Oh, yeah.
But Detroit kept it close. It was 24-18 at one point in the third quarter. And looking at that 25-46 scoreline, you assume it's just Tennessee have run rampant. But, I mean, the offense did, but the Titans' defense didn't. Like, it worries me a little bit, especially considering they've been known for defense for so long, and obviously you've got Vrabel in there. If you can put up 46 points every week, that's fine. And they kind of did it last season, didn't they? They came into their own at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry looked like he was running downhill every single play. Ryan Tannehill, again, a complete transformation. All you have to do is ask Tannehill to play a simple game and he will deliver a victory for you. He was 21 of 27, 273 yards, 3 touchdowns. Derrick Henry had 147 rushing yards and a touchdown. For me, Ryan Tannehill is one of the biggest examples of why the NFL needs a reserve or a development league, because he would have been completely out of it a couple of seasons ago. He looked washed up in Miami. He had nowhere to go. They let him go. People were questioning when Tennessee picked him up. I mean, they had Mariota as well. So to me, the NFL really does need a minor league, like the minor league baseball or the minor leagues in hockey, just so if you're going through a bad run of form, you can play out of it. Because you think, if we didn't have Tannehill now, Tennessee wouldn't be anywhere near what they are. They'd be a run-heavy team with no balance whatsoever. But they are that team that can turn it on. We saw it in the playoffs last year. We saw it at the end of the season. They're competing up against the Colts, and that's going to go down to the wire as well, I think. They're not a team you'd want to face in the playoffs, but at the same time, they are quite vulnerable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel... It's not like going up against the Chiefs, even though, you can see there's 46 points put up this week. It's not like, we're going to get absolutely steamrolled. It's a simple game. If you can stop them, and if you can put points up on their defense, then, you're in with a chance. Detroit... I don't really know what's going on with Detroit at the moment. They got rid of Patricia, which was obviously a good move. They've looked a lot more lively on offense the past couple of weeks, haven't they? But
yeah,
if Matt Stafford stays or goes, either way, I think Detroit again just need a proper rebuild, don't they? They've not got an identity. They've got some good young players coming through on the offense, though. DeAndre Swift looking good. If Kenny Golladay can come back, Marvin Jones is always around. I just think that defense needs a proper teardown. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this AFC South division title. We've got the Houston game in a minute, but both Houston and Tennessee should be in the playoffs, barring anything crazy happening with the rest of the AFC, which, you know.
Could, oh, you mean the Colts?
Sorry, Colts, yeah, you're not the Texans. definitely not the Texans. Wow.
But what do you think about Derrick Henry? I mean, he's 321 yards away from 2,000 yards. Please make it.
I know, really you've got you. Yeah, we don't want another disappointment like when Adrian Peterson just was, what, a couple of yards short of the single season record, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A few years ago, probably like 10 years ago now. But at the same time, if the Colts lose next week and Tennessee wrap up a division title, do you want to risk him? There's always that, especially with all the games being played this year and how strong the AFC is. Yeah. If you can rest him, do you rest him? Or is he better just continuing to play on? He's not been massively injury prone throughout his career, has he?
No, not at all. To be honest, I think they go with him. I think you go for the 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's a nice personal accolade for that offensive line and him as well. Yeah, so,
that's true. You know, it does reflect well on the offensive line.
Yeah. But the next game we're going to talk about is Cleveland, New York Giants. Not too much to talk about in this sense. Cleveland making history. They've got a chance now of, well, they've got a 10-win season. What can you say? You know, who would have thought that earlier in the year? A good bounce back after that, you know, loss to the Ravens. I know it would take a lot of, a lot to sort of come back from a defeat like that, because it was such a hard fought battle,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a gut wrencher.
Yeah, but I think they'll be glad that they got this one out of the way, and it was quite simple for them, to be honest. I mean, sorry, Nick, but, you know, the Giants did look quite dreadful, if I'm being honest with you.
So many question marks about Daniel Jones now, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, obviously with him being, obviously with him and his obviously injury, you know, he had Colt McCoy in there. You know, Colt McCoy, it's just not, he just can't do any sort of big plays, really. I think the longest throw he had was to Slayton for 35 yards.
Yeah.
The running game is obviously lacking. Goldman didn't have one of his better games, but you're all going to struggle against that Browns pass rush. You know, you've got some very heavy hitters there. And I think Colt McCoy was he like sacked 7 times or something in this game? No, he wasn't. No, I'm thinking of the wrong game. He's only sacked the ones in this game. But a lot of, a lot of struggles for that Giants team. And it's a massive setback because obviously they were slowly looking like they were going to be the best team in this division. Mm-hmm. But now, obviously, with, you know, the injuries that you've got, I think they've got divisional games coming up now as well. So now they have to play the Ravens next. So that's, you take that as a loss, and then you play the Cowboys. So really, you know, it's not looking good for them.
No.
I'd say be out of the Eagles, and actually don't, not look to Washington's schedule there, but
they got the Panthers this week.
Yeah, you think that they could probably win that one, maybe there's a chance there. But credit to the Browns, Baker's looking good.
Yeah.
Baker's, you know, he's doing what he can. He's the mediocre quarterback. He's basically like the new Andy Dalton, shall we say. I think a lot of people are sort of hyping him up a bit too much, saying that he's Baker's made it or Baker's done this. He's still your average quarterback. He's just playing in a system that Stefanski's got him in that is working well with the running game. You've got the likes of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And then you've obviously got these, receivers who are decent. Obviously, Jarvis Landry is probably the you know, the X receiver out of those lot. But Higgins has done really well. And Austin Hooper, got some good tight ends there, Hooper and Joko and Bryant. So he's got a number of weapons that he can sort of use as well. And that offensive line is doing him a lot of favours as well. I mean, what a transformation, you know, with that offensive line this season. They've done really well. So, you know, credit goes to the Browns. And yeah, look, it's looking like they're in the playoffs now.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've got a chance to win the division.
Yeah, 100%. I really hope that happens. Sorry, Stuart. But
I think most neutrals probably do, just to see the Browns back amongst the big time again.
Yeah, it would be quite good.
It's testament to how good the AFC is this year that they can either win the division or get knocked out of the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%.
In the next two games. I'm hoping they stay the course. Like you say, they are mostly a rushing team with Baker as a good, serviceable quarterback who's going to make the throws you need.
Yep.
And keep you in the game. So it's going to be interesting these next couple of weeks.
Exactly. Speaking of the AFC.
AFC South divisional match to finish off our roundup this week. Well, for us anyway.
Yep.
The Texans and the Colts. And the Texans were within a chance of winning it, except there was a fumble on the goal line. Oh, wait, these are my notes from like 2 weeks ago. Oh, wait, no, these are the notes from this week as well. How ridiculous is that? Two games against the Colts, two chances to win it, two fumbles on the goal line. And the Texans must just be feeling snake bitten this year.
You saw Deshaun Watson's face at the end of it, didn't you?
He was just... I think he'd moved past annoyed into just incredulous, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Because he had a monster game. He was 33 of 41, 373 yards, two touchdowns, but they only put up 20 points.
Yeah.
And, I think as the Texans, you really do just have to write this season off. But, I mean, with Bill O'Brien being sacked, they had such a difficult schedule early on. They were 0-4. They were never really going to recover from that, especially with the way Tennessee and Indy have been playing. But Indianapolis, they're a solid, good, solid, balanced team. Like you say, they're probably able to beat anybody in the playoffs, but that's only if everything clicks together.
Yeah.
They don't do anything superbly. They do everything okay. They're good. They put together a good drive, good game. The defense is solid. Offensive line solid. Rivers has really settled in back there. T.Y. Hilton had a good game. He popped up a few times. But I don't think they're ever going to blow anybody out of the water. And that becomes a problem when you look at the rest of the AFC playoff field and you've got Ravens, Browns, maybe the Steelers from the earlier part of the season, the Chiefs. These are teams that can completely blow you out of the water if they turn it on and have done. I don't think Indy have really had that game where they've put their foot down and just gone, right, we're taking this. Even with the Bengals earlier on in the season, I remember watching that one and they were, you know, back and forth, back and forth. But I mean, Indy are almost certainly going to get into the playoffs. I don't think they get much further than the wild card round unless they really can step it up a gear from what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This Texans team hasn't been great. The defense has been pretty awful most of the season. But they still couldn't find a way to... I mean, they didn't have a 100-yard rusher. They didn't have 100 yards receiving. Rivers was, again, 200 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Yeah. So it's...
I was expecting a bigger game from T.Y. Hilton. I mean, the last couple of weeks, he's really come back into being the T.Y. Hilton who, you know, back when he was obviously had Andrew Luck running the ball.
Yeah.
He was looking like a number one or top tier wide receiver.
You think it's because he's had the pressure taken off him a bit more? Because they have had people like Zach Pascal's been turning up a little more.
Michael Pittman.
It's not all about T.Y. Hilton. When Luck was there, it was basically Hilton, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, they're looking better. So I think they're an underdog, but they can certainly. You just don't know on any given day. They could dethrone a team. You just don't know.
Like I say, they will always keep a game close, and they will always be in a game. But they're not gonna just knock you down and go. I think they were 14-0 up at one point, and then to just let Houston slowly chip back into it. They could easily have lost this if Kiki Coutee couldn't hold onto the ball. But Yeah. I mean, Darius Leonard making a play right at the end. Kuti looks like he's about to stretch for the first down, maybe even towards the goal line. And Leonard just comes up behind him, smashes the ball out.
He didn't see it coming at all, did he?
Oh, it was such an intelligent football play. And that, especially on the defense, that's what they've got. They've got intelligent football players. So, you know, if they all continue to work as a team, I think Indy are probably it's kind of like when Man City had bought lots of random players over the years, and you know, a lot of NFL teams do that, and you've got your superstars, and your game runs through the superstars. This Indy team runs as a team, all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, they click together, and they win a game.
100%.
It just rolls on, doesn't it? It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. I mean, we've got Christmas week, which is always fun, New Year's week, and then into the playoffs. So what are your bold predictions for the playoffs coming up?
What, in the AFC or NFC, or just general? Or
just in general, what's going to happen? Come on, tell us.
I've still got Chiefs winning it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can't look past the Chiefs. I think from a book standpoint, I'm hoping we can get the fifth seed. So then we face whoever is in the NFC East. That would be quite nice. But I'm not expecting too much. If we can get the fifth seed, then I expect us to at least be in the next round after this. The NFC is difficult. It's difficult to see who's going to, you know, because yes, Green Bay are doing really well, but we've seen Aaron Rodgers so many times, you know, not really fault of his own. I don't know why I'm blaming Aaron Rodgers, but they haven't quite managed to get things right when it comes playoff time.
No, I think even the last few weeks, I mean, you think again about the Jaguars game. They didn't turn it on there and they snuck through. They've had a few games where they've not turned up on offense and had to sneak through. People are talking about them as a nailed on number one into the Super Bowl. They could easily just not turn up.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these teams in the NFC are similar ilk. I mean, I think the Saints are similar as well, where you know, they tend to blow things when it comes to playoff time. I can see more chance of Green Bay doing better than the Saints.
Drew Brees didn't look great, did he?
Yeah. And you just don't know. You know what? Even the Cards could do something magical. I just don't know with them. It's very bizarre.
I don't think there's a big front runner in the NFC at all.
Yeah. So if I was to go to obvious ones, I'm going to say NFC would be the Packers for an obvious one. Wild one. Sorry, I've got kids crying in the background all day. Wild one would be the Cardinals for AFC, obvious Chiefs, and the wild one would probably go for the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills are definitely looking good the past couple of weeks. I think you're probably about right, to be honest. Especially with the NFC, I don't see too many big surprises, but every team in that playoff situation has got the ability to turn up or not turn up. So I'm predicting what's going to happen in this NFC side.
My start of the season prediction might come true. I mean, I had Chiefs Seahawks, so
maybe. If Russell Wilson can look a little bit more confident, I would feel okay with us going up against most teams. The Packers probably are the team to beat if they turn up. But I mean, we've all watched playoff games where teams just have completely gone off the boil and not bothered, haven't they? So
Ravens.
Last
season.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do that again. They've not looked great all season. Okay, they're looking a little bit better than they were now, but
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting.
Exciting times.
Yes, well thank you very much, Sukhdeep. We'll leave you. I think Stuart's hopefully gonna recap a few of the games that he's watched. I'm sure we're all on tenterhooks to see how he describes the amazing Bengals victory that he would have watched this week.
Yeah, I think he's trying to avoid that, isn't he?
It's funny. He's not been around the last few weeks. Interesting that.
Yeah, very interesting.
We'll see how it goes. But yes, we'll leave you with Stuart and thank you all once again.
And Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
Yes, very much.
Thank you so much, Ryan and Sukhdeep, for that. And to our listeners, sorry I wasn't with the guys on the previous segment, it's now 5:30 p.m. in the afternoon on Christmas Eve. The show's going out at 6 p.m. and I was at a family wake yesterday, so we're having a social distance gathering in a church hall, and let's say I had one too many to drink and I'm suffering for it right now, and I think that's me for the next few days. I will see Christmas and Boxing Day and alcohol free. I was puking earlier, I had to nip into the city centre and I was puking on the bus, so yeah, not what you guys want to hear, but what you do want to hear is my segment of the podcast. So we're going to go with the Baltimore Ravens against the Jags. It finished 40-14. The Ravens basically took care of business. They absolutely set about the Jags 40-14 to pick up their ninth win of the season and continue their hunt for a playoff burst. Everything was seemingly set up for an upset here. You know, Baltimore was coming off that tough Monday night matchup against the Cleveland Browns, which was one of the best games I've seen this year. Probably is the best game we'll get this year. Obviously, giving them a short week. Injuries have already piled up for this team, but grew even more this week, seeing several defensive starters ruled out before kickoff. But the Ravens, you know, shook off a rough start, put together arguably their best game of the season in terms of a performance. Obviously, I stated before that the Browns game was the best to see, but in terms of the way that the Ravens played, this was by far their best game. I mean, looking good on both sides of the ball against arguably still a talented Jags team, you know, and if they can get Trevor Lawrence and put a few key positions in, you know, the Jags could be looking good next year. So the score was 40-14. In the first quarter, Ravens were 9-0 up. Second quarter, 17-0 up. Third quarter, Jags got into the game, so it was 7-7. Fourth, again, 7-7, finishing 40-14. I mean, it was basically that third quarter, you know, Lamar Jackson's 5-yard touchdown run. That was the final nail in the coffin when you actually break the game down. You know, the Jags had just scored their first points of the game, sustaining their longest drive of the game. The Jags were building some momentum and the score wasn't quite out of reach enough to make anyone feel comfortable, but Baltimore answered with a long drive and a score of its own, settling things down and squashing any comeback thoughts before they had a chance to come to fruition. The Jags had largely contained, you know, Lamar Jackson in the first half, committing multiple players to keep an eye on where he was. But on this drive, either the Ravens had found, you know, the counter to those spies, or Jacksonville needed to pull defenders elsewhere, and Baltimore made them pay. I mean, Jackson broke off on an 18-yard run earlier in the drive before walking into the end zone on his 5-yard touchdown run. It might not have been the most demoralising touchdown score, but it showed that the Ravens could counter anything that the Jags, you know, started to fire at them. There was a couple of guys that really, you know, were superb in this game. You had linebacker Patrick Queen. You know, Queen spent the first few drives in the backfield just as often as Jags quarterback Gardner Minshew. He was quick through the hole as a blitzer, and at one point threw a block side against, you know, a side to get into Minshew's face. Though he didn't have any crazy splash plays, Queen finished the game with 6 combined tackles, 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits, and 3 tackles for a loss. That's about as good as, you know, you can expect any rookie linebacker to be in week 15, and he's likely going to be, you know, running for that weekly award. Running back J.K. Dobbins, you know, Dobbins owned the first half of this game, averaging nearly 6 yards a carry. He was explosive in all areas, showing burst to the hole and through it, you know, vision and speed on the outside and through running, through contact. He also added a little to his game as a receiver out in the backfield catching that 17-yard pass. While the team didn't do its greatest job of actually feeding him the ball in the second half, he helped keep Jacksonville's defense honest and someone they clearly made adjustments in the game plan at halftime to stop. Defensive end Yannick Ngakoue? Ngakoue has been, you know, a finger length short of a seemingly a half dozen sacks in his few games with Baltimore, but just couldn't get it done. While he's been a solid addition to the team, the success of pass rushers is often measured in sack totals. You know, and against his former team, you know, Yannick, you know, he got the job done, notching 2 sacks and a forced fumble. If he can continue to close the gap as a pass rusher while learning how to be an edge setter, you know, in Baltimore's scheme, Yannick is going to be something special. Absolutely, 100%. But, you know, right guard Ben Powers Absolutely superb. While there's a few reasons for Baltimore's renewed success running the ball, I don't think you'll find a better answer than Powers entering the starting lineup. Powers got his first start of the season at right guard in week 11 against the Tennessee Titans and hasn't looked back since. It's no coincidence that the Ravens have actually gained a total of 942 rushing yards since Power became the starter, averaging more than 188 rushing yards per game over that time. It's an increased average of 24 yards per game from his first nine games, yes. Now, what's worth noting here? You know, what was Harbaugh and the rest of the coaching staff doing? Why did it take so long for Powers to be put in the starting lineup? But those questions can wait for the time being, obviously. Baltimore is seemingly getting hot at the right time, and this offensive line might just have the final puzzle piece to unlock the Ravens' mojo to go for a playoff push. Now, the Ravens will play the Giants this Sunday, which I think is going to be an interesting game. And I'm going for the Giants to win this one. So, we have the Cowboys 41, we've got the 49ers 27. It's hard to win games in the NFL, you know, especially when it's given away four times. Dallas wasn't good. The 49ers defense did plenty to win. Their offense couldn't hold onto the football, and it led to their eventual defeat. You know, the Cowboys had 14 quick points off two. The 49ers giveaway in San Francisco couldn't recover. You know, the 49ers' inability to hold onto the football bit them again. You know, two turnovers and two possessions to start the game put Dallas ahead 14-0 and effectively closed the margins of error for San Francisco. Neither team played great, but those early giveaways were the biggest key. The 49ers also can't stretch the field, you know, vertically with Mullins, and it's a huge problem for them on offense. Mullins tossed his second interception with 2 minutes 51 left and his team trailing by just three. The pick was perhaps his worst of the day. Dallas scored two plays later to go up 10 and just put the game away. Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, great. You know, five catches, 85 yards and a kick return touchdown. 49ers, you had wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, nine catches, 73 yards and a touchdown. 49ers running back Jeff Wilson Jr., 16 carries, 60 yards. The 49ers, obviously now, after this game, they're out of the playoff hunt with two games left against the Cardinals and Seahawks. Both games will take place at State Farm Stadium. The Cardinals are hosts in Week 16. Now, we've obviously got quite an important game coming up. You've got Jalen Hurts and the Eagles against the Cowboys. I just don't see how the Cowboys lose this. I think the Eagles are good. I think Jalen Hurts is great. But I just think that, you know, the offensive line with the Eagles isn't good at all. I don't think Carson Wentz is all to blame either. But I don't think another quarterback coming in is going to change things drastically. He's a special talent for one, but I just don't see the Eagles winning this one. So it'll be interesting to see going forward how the Cowboys do and where that leaves them in the division. Well, 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 how the mighty have fallen. The Patriots, I mean, they've got two games left on their schedule, but their season is over. I mean, they're out of playoff contention. I mean, if I remember right, it was 2008 when that last happened. And Brady tore his knee ligaments, if I remember right. But, you know, with a 22-12 loss to the Dolphins in week 15, Bill Belichick has made the playoffs in all but four of his 21 as a coach. I mean, that's with the Patriots. Absolutely incredible. New England, though, the Patriots' defense opened their matchup against the Dolphins with a very impressive game plan. But the second half spun out of Patriots' control with Miami focusing on its rushing attack. They surged with 22 second-half points while amassing 42 carries for 250 yards and three rushing touchdowns on the game. Quarterback Cam Newton, I mean, he's done now. And the Patriots offense never got much going, relying upon four field goals to put points on the board. And Miami's offense put the game out of reach. As I said before, the game was 22-12. The Dolphins scored their third touchdown of the second half. It was clearly Miami's offensive pace. I mean, it was beyond what New England could muster. The Dolphins' rushing attack was too much for the Patriots, and New England had nothing on offense to match the production. Belichick, I mean, he's always complained about being behind and preparing for the off-season in those years that he made the Super Bowls. That's not going to be the case this year. And the Patriots need all the time they can get. They have major questions at positions all over the roster, namely at quarterback. It would make sense for New England to re-sign Newton, who is playing on a one-year deal. But the Patriots also need another legitimate option or two at quarterback position. Whether they find a player in a trade or in the trade market or in free agency, as we've seen from Newton's lack of production, that quarterback will need a supporting cast, and the Patriots, boasting a large amount of cap space and likely a solid draft pick, they'll have plenty of chances to improve their roster, and perhaps quickly, as you know, the Dolphins made a point of highlighting, New England's anemic run defence needs to improve in a big way in this offseason. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the Patriots' defence couldn't defend the run. I mean, the Dolphins averaged a whooping 6 yards per carry on 42 carries. Their longest play was just 31 yards. You know, the Patriots' lack of run defence was probably, you know, agonising in New England because it was doing well defending the pass. I mean, Belichick managed to go 6 consecutive quarters with a shutout against rookie quarterbacks in 2020. Tua Tagovailoa finished 5.6 yards per attempt with one interception and two sacks. Cornerback J.C. Jackson managed a red zone interception that wiped at least 3 points off the board for Miami. The defence helped force a missed field goal for the Dolphins at the end of the first half. Punter Jake Bailey had two beautiful punts and one landing within the 5-yard line. A kicker and kicker, Nick Folk, was 4 of 4. I mean, seriously, seriously strong stuff. I mean, Cam Newton, though, I mean, he continues to struggle and throw the ball downfield. And I know I'm saying earlier, oh, he's finished, but, you know, do the Patriots keep him, sign him to another one-year deal, bring in another quarterback and use Cam's experience, you know, to mentor? It's an interesting one, but, you know, his longest play was 35 yards, that it came on a slant route that travelled less than 10 yards in the air. You know, part of that is due to the Patriots' conservative play calling. A part of that is due to a shortage of pass-catching options. And yes, part of that is due to Newton's difficulties with accuracy. Once Miami's offense got going, New England, I mean, they had no answers at all. I mean, there were standouts. You know, wide receiver Jacoby Myers, I mean, he finished with 7 receptions for 111 yards with yet another solid performance for the Patriots. He's not a number one receiver, but he will definitely be part of the Patriots' plans for 2021. Maybe his heir to a pattern, you know, Julian Edelman, cornerback J.C. Jackson, we've mentioned the interception. He, even with Stephen Gilmore leaving the game with injury, he helped hold together the Patriots' secondary. I mean, up next, got the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's on fire. And I think they'll absolutely dismantle them. And I mean, I really, really mean that. They'll absolutely dismantle them. So to finish up with that, we've got this week's meeting of the top teams in both conferences. I mean, they yielded an entertaining game that kept myself and I know Hughes fans on the edge of your seats for all four quarters. Kansas City got off to a fast start in the first half, leading by 14 early in the second quarter. But New Orleans surged back by halftime to make a 4-point contest. An opening drive touchdown to start the second half gave the Saints some momentum, but Kansas City was able to hold on and seal the win with a solid fourth quarter performance. The Kansas City Chiefs stars on offense and an unbelievable performance of rookie Legarius Sneed on defense propelled them to their 12th win this season. I mean, it's crazy. It keeps the team in the driver's seat for the top seed in the AFC Conference. With the Falcons and the Chargers on the horizon in the coming weeks, Kansas City will look to keep this momentum headed into January's elimination games. So the game was the Chiefs 32, Saints 29. I mean, it was a fantastic battle. It was a hard fought and physical game from both teams. You know, it resulted in one of the best games the Chiefs have played this season. Even if the score was close, New Orleans proved that they could keep up with the Chiefs, you know, high octane offense, but fell just short of handing the Kansas City their second loss of the season. Their first one, obviously, coming from the new the Las Vegas Raiders. Despite a number of points allowed, the defense was a bright spot for the Chiefs in the win, playing admirably against the resurgent Saints offense with Drew Brees in his first game back after, you know, 11 broken ribs and God knows what else that happened to that guy. The secondary was especially good in this matchup, with young corners Legarius Sneed and Chavarius Ward setting the tone all game. I mean, the Kansas City, I mean, they just managed, you know, to win the time of possession battle this week, running the ball over 40 times. You know, Paddy Mahomes' passing attack was a throwback to traditional, you know, that sort of West Coast offense style, essentially running the ball by throwing it all game. Though this wasn't the most efficient performance in terms of completions and attempts, the yardage and scores were there to keep the team in the lead for all but a couple of minutes. A couple of wacky plays, though, before half-time helped essentially put points on the board for the New Orleans, but the Chiefs' defence played bend-don't-break, you know, defence all day. Drew Brees off the field with four touchdowns allowed. The huge interception early to give the team momentum proved to be decisive, and despite nearly 30 points allowed, the defence looked to have found some rhythm after some tough weeks against lesser teams. Now, this was by far the hardest matchup on the Chiefs' late-season schedule, so escaping with a win is crucial for their playoff push. A loss this week would have potentially tied them and my Steelers for, you know, the conference lead. But at 13-1, the Chiefs still controls its own destiny with just 2 weeks remaining. If they win out a first-round bye in the playoffs, it could give them a huge advantage to get, you know, guys healthy and make for a push for a Super Bowl run. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is one prime example. If you get him back healthy in the next few weeks, wow, they're going to be incredible. But a clutch touch pass from Mahomes to Travis Kelce, you know, helped the Chiefs milk that fourth quarter clock to seal their 13th win of the season. The Chiefs' three-point lead at the two-minute warning left Kansas with a second and manageable to run a misdirection play to put the ball in the hands of their star tight end. New Orleans had just one timeout remaining, and on their next series of downs, Le'Veon Bell converted a first down to put, you know, an absolute blade into the Saints. Now, for me, L'Jarius Sneed, I mean, by far the most productive rookie on the Chiefs' defence. Sneed has played at like a seriously very high level this season. He posted another signature performance against New Orleans. An early interception gave Kansas City a major edge in building an early lead, and a clutch sack in the second quarter rounded out maybe his best game so far. Just a fourth-round pick in last April's draft, Sneed looks like he'll be a mainstay of the Chiefs' secondary for, seriously, a long, long time. Now, I mean, Travis Kelce, I mean, what has been a historic season for the Kansas City Titans? Travis Kelce had another monster game against the state with 8 receptions, 68 yards and a big touchdown in the win. Still, a potential receiving yards leader with just 2 weeks remaining, Kelce has cemented himself as the best in the league at his position. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, what more do you need to say about the guy? You know, with games like this, you know, becoming the expectation, the Chiefs quarterback kept the team on the pace all game and wore out the Saints defence with killer instinct, you know, and cunning. His 47 attempts were on pace for a season high as the third quarter came to a close, and with a, you know, with points at a premium, he delivered with 3 passing touchdowns and no interceptions. Kansas City is 13-1 for the first time in franchise history, and now the team looks poised to make their record even more impressive in the coming weeks. I mean, they're going to clinch the AFC, there's no doubt about that. I think they're going to go ahead and win the Super Bowl. They're just a phenomenal team that are only going to get better and stronger. As long as they get that bye, they get guys back healthy, they're going to be amazing. But I'm going to sign off, I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to enjoy Christmas Eve, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow feeling fresh, because I'm not going to lie, I'm very, very hungover. But to all our listeners, thank you so much, you know, for listening to us. You know, we're going to have another great podcast next Wednesday. We're going to be out next Wednesday. I spoke to the guys earlier. And then after the year, we've got a couple of cool things. We'll get some fans on, their teams are in the playoffs. We're going to have some trivia questions to get fans on. Maybe, you know, just make it a bit more interactive like how it was. Because as Sook said on the Jets Legends podcast, Earl Christie, just last week, that we started off as a podcast, you know, for the fans. So we want the fans to come on the podcast. So as we start getting into the postseason, there's obviously less games for us to cover. So therefore gives us the chance to bring you, the fans, on. So if you're listening and you want to come on the podcast, and you can contact myself at Stuart Love NFL on Twitter. You can get Suk, S-U-K-H NFL at Twitter. And you'll obviously find myself, Stuart Love, Suk Deep Puni, or Ryan Edwardson on Facebook. Send us a DM, or you've got the 4th and Inches Facebook page. You can send us a DM there, and we will be more than happy to, you know, answer your questions and bring you on the podcast. But I wish you all a merry, merry Christmas and a happy New Year. Just, you know, so humbled and grateful to have you guys listening to us, and for me, You know, it's just amazing. These guys listen to me waffling a load of shit. So anyway, guys, I'm going to sign off. Thank you so much and have a good night.